2011, Washington, D.C., the planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. For those of you who are on a budget, the toll-free number is 877-666-9305. Israel is in trouble. Surrounded on all sides by hostile nations and hostile governments. For many, many years, Israel's chief protector has been, and good friend and partner, has been the United States of America. But with a Muslim president in the White House, and repeated snubs from the current administration, and hostile nations being overrun by its radical citizenry, Israel is in trouble. The prophecies seem to be are being fulfilled. Now, I know that there are a lot of you out there who don't believe so much in biblical prophecy. But it seems that it's all coming true. It's all coming to pass. All of a sudden, it seems that the world is on fire. President Obama's foreign policy can be described as nothing short of bizarre. His apology tour of Europe was a disgrace to the office of the presidency of the United States. He insists on normalizing relations with Cuba. He has exhibited uncanny, hollow rhetoric toward North Korea regarding its blatant nuclear and missile ambitions. He's made a mockery of our relationship with Great Britain, treating Prime Minister Gordon Brown like a pariah, even resorted to taking swipes at the British media for voicing criticism of some policy decisions. And then his historic, ill-fated, disgraceful speech in Cairo just a year and a half ago to our Muslim friends. If recent past is prologue, it will be nauseatingly conciliatory for this president to continue on. Perhaps the most dangerous of his foreign policy maneuvers has been his treatment of Israel. Picking one issue, the freezing of settlement building, which he knew or knows is something Prime Minister Netanyahu has little room in which to negotiate. Obama has intentionally alienated our only true democratic ally in the Middle East. At the same time, he was playing the sympathy card with the Palestinian chief, Mahmoud Abbas, and other Arab states in the region, trying to appear as if he and his policy shifts are beneficial to their cause. It's all very bizarre and very troubling. If one doesn't understand biblical prophecy, if one doesn't understand that the prophecy must be fulfilled, and I believe that it will be. Obama's cold and disgraceful meeting with Netanyahu was in stark contrast to the chum fest with the lame Abbas. Abbas felt confident and feels confident now that he has a new partner in which to align himself. Both he and Obama seem to be latched, critically, to Israel's timid progress toward a two-state solution and her reluctance to abandon all settlement activity. Now, while it is clear that Israel has every right to be boldly cautious about any negotiations with the Palestinians and surrounding Arab countries, considering that they refuse to even recognize Israel's right to exist, it once again falls solely to Israel to make further concessions if progress towards peace is even to be considered, and now even those negotiations are fraught with peril. Given what is happening right now in Israel, given what is going on right now, are the prophecies being fulfilled? President Obama has disgraced and alienated this great nation. The ignorant snubs of a neophyte president Benjamin Netanyahu was humiliated after Barack Obama dumped him for his dinner date with Michelle. For a head of government to visit the White House and not pose for photographs is rare. That alone. For a key ally to be left to his own devices while the president withdraws to dinner in private was unheard of. Yet that's how Benjamin Netanyahu was treated by President Obama just a year and a half ago. According to Israel reports on a trip viewed in Jerusalem, Netanyahu felt humiliated after failing to extract a written promise of concessions on settlements. Mr. Obama walked out on his meeting with Mr. Netanyahu, but of course he invited him to stay at the White House, consult with advisors, and let me know if there's anything new. I quote, end quote, that. Wow, we are in trouble. America's in trouble financially. America's in trouble abroad. But Israel is on the brink, surrounded on all sides by enemies. Surrounded. The call-in number, 347-884-8500. For those of you who are on a budget, 877-666-9305. What is going on? Are the prophecies being fulfilled? Are we in the last days? Is this the end that leads to the beginning? The 7-year trial and tribulations? What we see going on around the world, when we see that our president, the president of the United States of America, simply not paying attention, it's awful. And what Obama has done with Israel is awful. If there is no other proof that President Obama is a Muslim, sellout Muslim, this is it. His blatant disregard for Israel is obvious now. Let's go back a year and a half. One congressman said it was awful. One Israeli newspaper called the meeting a hazing in stages, poisoned by such mistrust that the Israeli delegation eventually left rather than risk eavesdropping on a White House telephone line. Another said that the prime minister had received the treatment reserved for the president of New Guinea. What a mess. Left to talk amongst themselves during the meeting, or at the non-meeting, Mr. Netanyahu and his aides retreated to the Roosevelt Room. He spent a further half hour with Mr. Obama and extended his stay for a day of emergency talks to try to restart peace negotiations. However, he left the next night with no official statement from either side. He returned to Israel a couple of days later, isolated, after what Israeli media called a White House ambush. Wow. And this is how we treat, this is how Obama treats his friends. But when his enemies come to town, when the traditional enemies of the United States come to town, traditional antagonists, I won't go, let me go ahead and rescind the enemies quote. Traditional adversaries of the United States come to town, he is boot-licking, bowing and scraping. You would think that the president of the United States was attempting to give a blowjob to every potentate and dictator that comes to town, or the ones that he flies off thousands and thousands of miles, millions and millions of dollars spent to go and greet, and he bows down to them like a groveling dog. Is there any wonder that the latest polls show that Obama's polls just taken just a couple of days ago show that Obama has no credibility in this country as a leader. His leadership polls are down dramatically from where they were just a few months ago, least of all a year ago. President Obama does not have what it takes to be the president of the United States. Just aside from impeachment, at least this dude should be released from his duties as of 2012. I mean, I can't come up with the proper words. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. This guy is a disaster. But you know what? By the same token, on the same hand, if we are living in the last days, if biblical prophecy is to be fulfilled, and you know what? I'm well aware that every single time the world is in crisis, throughout our history, I am a history major. I'm a history buff. And so I'm aware that throughout our history, in times of trouble, when the world has been on the brink, there have been those like me, who have said that we're living in the last days, that biblical prophecy is being fulfilled, and that so-and-so and so-and-so or so-and-so is the Antichrist. But now, things are a lot different. Because now we not only see one, two countries in trouble, or three, all of the Middle East most of Europe. The United States is going broke. Our time, it would seem, is coming to an end unless we dramatically change course. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen very easily. There are wars and rumors of wars being Libya, where it's not a war, but it's sort of a war, or it's kind of a war, or maybe it's a war, or no, not quite a war, but no, maybe. Oh, my goodness. So we're in, some would suggest that we're living in the last days. Because maybe it's a war. And then again.
I don't understand all the criticism about our direction in Libya. I think I've made myself quite clear as to what our intentions are. We're going to follow some of the European nations in a semi-NATO, partially UN-sanctioned, quasi-Arab League-backed non-war mission to use air power to get Gaddafi to step down and leave the country. Unless he doesn't. At which point we'll...
So, the wars and the rumors of wars speak plainly. So, are we, and I'll ask this question again because I've been asking it for months, are we in the last days? Is this the end? You know, somebody has to ask the question because as I pointed out earlier, just a minute or so ago, during these times, the question is almost always asked. During Hitler's reign, the question was asked, is Hitler the Antichrist? Is this the end? And I can go on and on with examples of where biblical scholars, as well as historians, have questioned whether or not we are living in the last days in time. And as I've stated, the only good thing about all of that is that there's only a 7-year window where everything will go absolutely wrong, and then it'll be all right. Everything will be fine, but we've got to get through the 7 years. But are we there? In Barack Obama's celebrated speech in Cairo, Egypt, in June 2009, the president called for peace in the Middle East. Well, that didn't work out so well, did it? In an effort to appeal to the best traditions of the three monotheistic religions that came from the region, he read quotations from their holy books. He went on to say, he read, the Holy Quran tells us, O mankind, we have created you, male and female, and we have made you into nations and tribes so that you may know each other. The Talmud tells us the whole of the Torah is for the purpose of promoting peace. He went on to read, the Holy Bible tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I wonder if he was talking just about himself. The people of the world can live together in peace. We know that is God's vision. Now, that must be our work here on earth. And that's what he said at this infamous speech in Cairo. Now, few people commented on those quotations at the time, but anyone reading them today must be struck by what distinguishes the Quran from the others, the lack of the word peace. Know one another is certainly not the same thing as promoting peace, and dividing the world into tribes and nations and men and women is very different from calling for an end to conflict. Yet Obama presented the first three quotations as if he thought they were somehow equivalent. This genius, this professor, the smartest man on the planet, the smartest man in the room. Indeed, it's very hard to cite the Quran, even selectively, for evidence that Islam, like Judaism and Christianity, yearns for peace. It just doesn't work that way. President Clinton's speechwriters called on the great American scholar of Islam, Bernard Lewis, for a quotation from the Quran that the president could use for the occasion that he spoke. Lewis cited one from memory. Not that one, he was told. We already used that one. We need another one. Lewis was forced to reply, "I don't think there is another one." Back to Obama. Obama's Cairo speech was also full of misstatements about the history of the Muslim world, all designed to demonstrate that Islam made many important contributions to Western civilization. And in fact, yeah, there are such contributions. But many of the examples the president used were at best misleading. Above all, is his contention that Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. Are you kidding me? How he could say that with a straight face is beyond me. If anybody has a question, anybody wants to talk about it, call in. I'm Dr. C. Robert Jones, your host, and the number is 347-884-8500. 877-666-9305. I did not pick that number. Back to the tolerant Islam, the tolerant Quran. In every case by Muslim rulers, the Jews have been stigmatized as inferior, forced to identify themselves as such on occasion throughout history, sometimes having to wear certain clothing or symbols, and compelled to pay onerous financial tributes to their rulers throughout history. No wonder that in the mid-20th century, the Jews of the Middle East fled their ancient homeland or homelands for freedom in what became the nation of Israel, a journey toward freedom made all the more dramatic by the fact that Muslim Arabs now live, work, and even serve in parliament in this Israel, alongside both Christians and Jews. Obama's refusal to recognize the historical or religious differences between Islamic and Judeo-Christian attitudes toward peace suggests that despite his years in Muslim Indonesia, he knows very little about Islam. The Quran is full of calls to dominate and slaughter infidels, with particular emphasis to Jews. Its imitations of, or intonations, or imitations of genocide have been well documented and made into an action plan for our major enemy and Israel's, the Middle East today, Iran. So what is going on here? Those who know nothing of Islam pretend that Islam counsels against war. Those are witless. Islam says, kill the unbelievers. Kill them, put them to the sword, and scatter their armies. There are thousands of other Quranic verses and that urge Muslims to value war. Does all that mean that Islam is a religion that prevents men from waging war? It's all nonsense, but it's all supposed to be this way. It's all supposed to be just this way. If we believe in biblical scholar, we know that all of this is supposed to happen just the way it's happening right now. And Obama, the president of the United States of America, has betrayed Israel, much to the delight of Louis Farrakhan. But now, well, things have changed just a little bit. Just a little bit, and I... First, we'll get to Farrakhan's warning of Obama, which should have brought at least 6 or 7 Secret Service agents to his door, the FBI, state police, a couple of U.S. Marshals thrown in for good effect, because I like the television series Justified, and maybe even a couple of crossing guards. Somebody should have gone to see this guy, and I wonder if they did. Because it sounds an awful lot to me that Farrakhan, in this piece I'm about to play, is threatening the President of the United States. Now, a wrestler, a professional wrestler, boxer, what do they call that, mixed martial arts guy, suggested jokingly that he would like to wrestle Obama to the ground or give him a smack or something. And he was visited promptly by the Secret Service. Louis Farrakhan warns Obama. "I want to warn you," he says. The last time, folks, that Obama, I mean, that Farrakhan warned another man that was documented was when he warned Malcolm X. If you recall, and if you know anything about this, Malcolm X was one of the chief lieutenants of Mr. Muhammad at the time, and somewhat of a rival of Malcolm X. Well, he warned Malcolm X, and he also issued prophetically the same "who the hell do you think you are" to Malcolm X. A couple of weeks later, Malcolm was murdered. Did the Secret Service pay a little bit of a visit to Louis Farrakhan? Listen to the clip and tell me if it sounds to you like is this a friendly little, you know, suggestion or perhaps a counsel, or is it more like a warning?
Good afternoon. It is 5:10 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, and we are so pleased to continue our conversation with none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is in our studio, and we're always pleased to have him. We're honored to have him. And our call-in number is 591-1690, and of course, we're streaming live at www.wvon.com. And we're going to take some calls in a moment, and also you can go on Facebook if you want to get a question in. All right? Brother Minister, again, thank you. And I want to go right into the situation with our President, Commander-in-Chief Obama, and his treatment of the situation in Libya. And I recall what you said on Savior's Day. I thought it was so interesting. It said all of this turmoil that's going on in the world will come to your shores here in America. So sort of like you were saying, get ready for it because it's going to come here. And then you told the president, you said be prepared because it will be coming to your shores, America, to your door, you said. And your advice to Obama was to remember the words you're making to other nations.
Well, today, our dear brother, you know, has to be very, very careful in this decision that he and his Secretary of State and Sarkozy and Prime Minister Cameron and others are planning. They would love to go into Libya and kill Brother Gaddafi and kill his children, as they did with Saddam Hussein and his sons Qusay and Uday. You must remember, dear people of America, that whenever government wants you to think and act in a certain way that would bring justification to an action that they are already planning to make. They must make the person that they hate a boogeyman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody wants civil war. It is the bloodiest of all kinds of wars because you're fighting your own brothers. You're fighting the people of your own language and culture and history. So in every nation, brothers and sisters, there is dissatisfaction. And what the CIA does is go into a country and move among the people that are dissatisfied to stimulate a revolt against a leader that they don't like because they want regime change. I want to be specific. When George W. Bush was president, he said they wanted regime change in Iran, in Korea. Regime change. How do you get regime change, honest America? How do you do that? Congress, the Congress of the United States, voted to spend $150 million to replace the government in Iran that America doesn't like. So they send their agents in to work among the, the dissatisfied. So when they had this election and the people in Iran rose up, they have legitimate grievances, all right, but stimulated from the outside. So President Obama didn't want to put his foot into that cage lest somebody say America inspired it, because it was America's policy to destabilize that government. Well, what about Libya?
Mm-hmm.
See, how much money is being spent to arm the so-called rebels?
Mm-hmm.
They're dissatisfied. Well, what is their dissatisfaction about? Do they have jobs? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do they have food? Yes. Mm-hmm. Has Gaddafi used the oil money to build Libya? Yes. Did Gaddafi use oil money and discover water under the Sahara Desert and brought that water to the surface and brought water from Benghazi all the way to the border almost of Tunisia? Did he impose farming in the desert so that they could feed their own people? Yes. Are there billions of dollars that he's spending building homes, building apartments for his people? Yes. So something is under this. And so when America, England, France, three imperialist powers want to destabilize that country, is it that you so concerned? Now listen to this hypocrisy, American people. Is it that you're so concerned over the blood that is being shed in Libya when you look the other way when the Israeli Defense Force was bombing the innocent people of Gaza? Unarmed men, women, and children, but our government looked the other way. You looked the other way when the Israeli Defense Force went into Lebanon thinking that they were going to have an easy victory. Then you had to come out with your tail between your legs. Don't tell me and wise black people or white people that you're interested in black suffering. Where were you in Rwanda? Where are you in the Congo? Where? Why did you go to Darfur? Because oil is there. No, you don't want to save the Libyan people. That's your noble motive to hide your wicked agenda. Now, I want to warn you in the name of Allah that this is more complex than what you think. Go into Libya if you want to. The Libyans do not want foreign occupation on their land. And when you make that kind of move, if you're not careful, you'll unite the Libyan people against you. And again, Gaddafi wasn't sitting in any tent twiddling his thumbs over these last 10 years. This man has been investing in African development. This man has been moving throughout Africa. This man has friends all over the world. He may not be your friend, but if you take him out and kill him like he's some rotten fella that wants to kill his own people, what did you do in Waco? What did you do when your people rose up? Did you talk them out of it? No, they had weapons. You bombed them. What did you do in Philadelphia with the Move movement? Did you talk them out of their home, or did you bomb them? We didn't.
I'm right here. I am waiting for Farrakhan to warn the President of the United States while pounding his finger on a desk, which should have resulted in a visit from the United States Secret Service and the U.S. Marshals and the United States Marines. Apparently that they didn't hear him do warn the President of the United States. If I, your humble host here, C. Robert Jones, issues a warning to the President of the United States, probably before my show ends, there'll be a knock at the door. Farrakhan received no such knock, that, to my knowledge. I'm wondering how you can go about warning the President of the United States of America and not get a visit. I don't understand. You know, I am no fan of President Obama's. That's quite clear. I wish no harm to come to the man, no physical harm. The only harm I wish to be done to him is maybe he stubs his toe as he exits the White House for the very last time in 2012. Other than that, I wish him no ill will, but Farrakhan has, in my mind, threatened the man. What would happen if Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh warned the President of the United States? Well, of course, Glenn Beck's under fire all the time. I work with Glenn all the time. I just dropped his name. What was? But I mean, and I, you know, I've listened to Rush since 1988 when he was on a small radio station in Sacramento, California. His first gig outside of Missouri, but and they Rush has called for. He says that he wants Obama to fail. National news everywhere. How many people are calling out Louis Farrakhan over warning the President of the United States? What do I know about U.S. Marines, RK? Aw, you bring a smile to my face by asking that question. Only that I spent 30 years as a United States Marine, both enlisted and as an officer. Only that I joined the Marine Corps 3 months into my 17th birthday, March 13, 1979, attended boot camp in San Diego, Platoon 1025, and I'm trained by Staff Sergeant Leha, my senior drill instructor. No, other than that, I don't know all that much about the Marine Corps. But that is not about me. It's about Louis Farrakhan threatening the President of the United States and pounding his hand on the desk. Let's continue.
Hear any outcry from you religious hypocrites that love the lives of human beings? You're a liar and a hypocrite. And I warn my brother, don't you let these wicked demons move you in a direction that will absolutely ruin your future with your people in Africa and throughout the world. They don't like the way you handle Mubarak. They don't like the way you're handling the situation in the Arab world. So I would advise you to be careful and move with wisdom and skill. My advice would be, why don't you organize a group of respected Americans and ask for a meeting with Gaddafi? You can't order him to step down and get out. Who the hell do you think you are? That you can talk to a man that built a country over 42 years and ask him step down and get out? Can anybody ask you? Well, there's a lot now going to ask you to step out of the White House because they don't want no black face in the White House. Be careful, brother, how you handle this situation, because it is coming to America. It has already started. Look in Wisconsin. Look in Ohio. Look at what's going on in your country, and remember your words, because the American people are rising against their own government. It's not Muslims, it's not black people, it's white militia that are angry with their government.
Oh my goodness, white militia. It seems like people like Farrakhan and those of his ilk are always turning it back on white folks. It's the white militia. You know, it's the Tea Party. It's everybody else. Yes, San Diego Marine, Platoon 1025. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a long time. It's such a long career, and I wish I could have stayed even just a few days longer. When I retired, I didn't really want to do it, but it was time to go. It had been 30 years. Obama is a Marxist, Bob, USMC. And you know what? He's even worse than that. But we're going to go ahead, and I have a really cool clip from YouTube of Obama's response to Louis Farrakhan. It's pretty funny. I wish Obama had actually said this. Check it out.
Welcome everyone to another 316 breaking news special. We are about to go live into the White House for an exclusive interview with President Obama. He will address the statements made against him out of the mouth of Minister Louis Farrakhan on a recent interview with Farrakhan at a Chicago radio station. Let's tune into the White House now to see what Mr. Obama has to say.
Good afternoon, everybody. I would like to take this time to address some statements conversated about me from the mouth of a very angry man who many refer to as Minister Louis Farrakhan. I will address this issue as calm and professional as possible. For many who do not know who Minister Louis Farrakhan is, Minister Louis Abdul-Halim Farrakhan Muhammad Sr. is the leader of the Chicago, Illinois-based Nation of Islam. He served as the minister of major mosques in Boston and Harlem, and was appointed by the longtime NOI leader Elijah Muhammad as the national representative of the Nation of Islam. I am sure that many of you have heard Mr. Farrakhan speaking against me in a recent interview on FinalCall.com with such rage and disgust. This slick-head man Mr. Farrakhan is only upset because I still have my full head of hair, while he is silently going bald with each angry rant. The issue that Farrakhan addressed pertaining to me and Libya has nothing at all to do with him. The issues dealing with Libya is between me, Muammar Gaddafi, and other foreign governing authorities in other countries. Those private matters I have addressed in public before, and I will not go into them again. Mr. Farrakhan asked in the interview, on who the hell do I think I am? I know who I am. And as well as Farrakhan and anyone else knows that I am the President of the United States of America, and what I say goes. I even have full legal rights to pimp slap someone as I so choose. Mr. Farrakhan is speaking on matters he himself is a well-known hypocrite of. He is insinuating that me and those of the governing branches are stimulating citizens of foreign countries into a revolt, as he claims. Mr. Farrakhan himself stimulates those of the Mahogany American race to revolt against those of the Caucasian American race because of past oppression and slavery. Mr. Farrakhan is a hypocrite and a racist bigot. He is now trying to manipulate all citizens of the United States of America to turn against their own government. I warn you now, honest citizens of America, that if any violent protesting and revolting goes on within this country, there will be severe penalties to pay. Take the other countries as an example and cherish your life, as well as the well-being of your families. Mr. Farrakhan is only for one race and one race only. This too is not for peace and unity, but to violence, ignorance, and division in which it is induced. If any citizen disagrees with what I am stating here today, they will be martial-lawed immediately. That is all. A good day to everyone.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. President Obama has spoken his piece, so hopefully that's the end of that quarrel. Before we go, I had the chance to get a few quick statements from two random people about the Obama versus Farrakhan situation. I asked them a question about whose side are they on, so here's what they had to say. Whose side are you on dealing with the Obama versus Farrakhan quarrel?
Okay, Obama versus Farrakhan. Apparently Farrakhan didn't really have anything to, didn't have a response to that. But hey, let me tell you something right now. It seems to me that Black America is turning on Barack Obama, that liberals are turning on Barack Obama. Their bread is not being buttered. They are not being rubbed the right way. And quite frankly, I am loving it. I am loving every minute of it. I almost feel sorry for President Barack Hussein Obama. And let me tell you something. I actually, check this out.
What Obama doing is how when he represents the white man. He represents the ideology of the white man. He represents the policies of the white man. He represents the CIA set up sabotage, lie on an African leader and bomb that man like he George Bush. He represents the white man. And his wife should leave the nigga tonight. She should walk out, and his beautiful daughter should walk out on this bamboozling, buck-dancing term. Oh yeah, I said it. We've held back on this Negro for a long time. Have held back on him and tried to hope that the nature of the black man would somehow come to reality. He caved in like a punk. And you have fallen into this trap, Barack Obama, and you should have listened to Louis Farrakhan a long time ago when you were at his table. But you want to follow the white man, and the white man's time is up. How are you going to get out of this, Obama? $100 million a week, $200 million a week disaster. How you gonna get out of it? We pray that Gaddafi survives. We pray that that black man from black Berber lineage and the black Berbers who fought the Arab invaders, that's why he have love for Africa. I'm talking about blacks in Africa. We pray he survives. When a black man is under attack, we don't run with the dogs. We don't run with the bloodhounds. We run when the black man is under attack. We've seen the white man coming after us the same way all the time. Only thing you see in Libya is just a big case of police brutality. We see the way they team up on us and run us down all the time. Sometimes it's a nigga police chief that's in the lead. This time it's a nigga police chief in the lead named Barack Obama. But it makes no difference. The black man is on the run named Gaddafi. We pray for his safety and that he survives. And so that he's in. And the white man will turn on Obama. The white man will say, nigga, we didn't give you this authority. This wasn't constitutional. You didn't come before Congress. Nigga, you just ran out there. You took a call from Netanyahu and ran out there buck dancing. Now you're busted. They will turn on him. His future will be ruined because he wanted to be the white man's nigger, even though he could have been a decent human being.
Okay. I'm not really sure what buck dancing is, so I had to go ahead and look it up. And Barack Obama, according to El Malik Shabazz, was buck dancing and for Whitey, and his wife should leave him and his daughter should leave him and he's a nigga and blah 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 and all that. What's striking about what I just played, even though it sounded really terrible because my jam box from Jawbone crapped out and I had to use a regular computer speaker. What's striking about that is that El Malik that guy. What's so striking about that is that he praised Obama just a year ago. Both he and Farrakhan praised Obama as the savior of America. No, more so, not just the savior of America, but the savior of the whole world. He was the chosen one. In a speech given by Farrakhan just a year ago, he praised Obama as being the one, as being the Messiah. When the Messiah speaks, people must listen. Now, apparently, Barack Obama has fallen out of favor in favor of Gaddafi because, well, Gaddafi is a little bit more of a buddy to Farrakhan. They were actual friends. So I guess Farrakhan decided he was going to go ahead and choose his friends. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and copy that link down right now. Got it right here. Thank you, RK. Corporal Tyler Rock, what a cool name, sent the email. Marine in Ramadi, I got a quote for Harry Reid. Corporal Tyler Rock sent the email to Pat Dollard, whose site is now down, and that's probably due to the Drudge link that the email attracted. These families need us here, he quotes. I'm quoting him. These families need us here. Obviously, he has never been to Iraq, or at least the area worth seeing. The parts where insurgency is rampant and the buildings are blown to pieces. We need to stay here and help rebuild. If Iraq didn't want us here, then why do we have IPs volunteering every day to rebuild their cities and working directly with us too? Some of the IAs, same with the IAs. It sucks that Iraq has more patriotism for a country that has turned to complete shit more than the people in America who drink Starbucks every day. We could leave this place and say we're sorry to the terrorists. And then we could wait for 3,000 more American civilians to die before we say, hey, that's not nice again. And the sad thing is, after we win this war, people like him will say that he was there for us the whole time. Of course. Of course. Wow. Where was I when the corporal said these things? Because I had no idea until now. Wow. I'm going to go ahead and save that in my Evernote file. Thank you so much, RK, for posting that. Wow. I mean, I didn't even read all of it either. It's great. Thank you so much. President Barack Hussein Obama, the end times. That's what I'm talking about. Are we in the last days? President Barack Obama has come into office, and in the 2 years he has been in office, the whole wide world has gone to crap. Some say it has something to do with the Bible. Some say that we're living in the last days, that even Barack Obama's election ascendance to the presidency marked the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Some say that. I am starting to become more and more convinced. Wars, rumors of wars, high skyrocketing food prices, earthquakes, tsunamis, violence breaking out all over, countries becoming insolvent, rioting on the streets of most of the major countries, all coinciding with the election of a man who some said was the Messiah. Some have said that Barack Obama was elected to heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race, blah, and all of that. He was supposed to heal the world. But actually, just the opposite is happening. The world is not being healed. Does anyone think of that? Does anyone actually think of that? When you watch the news, preferably Fox, fair and balanced, and I'm not just saying that because it's a company I'm contracted to work for. No. Fox, fair and balanced, or hey, watch any major network. I prefer Fox, though. But hey, watch any major network. You see that violence is breaking out. Food gas prices are skyrocketing. Countries, states within those countries are going broke. Rioting, looting. Tsunamis, earthquakes, wars, and my favorite rumor of war, what we're engaged in Libya right now. Never mind that 20,000 United States Marines have left from Camp Lejeune on their way to Libya right now. What's going on? What's going on? In fact, Donald Trump will get to the bottom of it all. You know what Americans love right now? What Americans love right now, what's becoming fashionable and in vogue, and in rightly so, is Americans who speak plainly and to the point. There was a time long ago when if a man spoke plain and spoke the truth and behaved on his honor, that he was much more respected than a politician. Politicians were looked upon as something you would scrape off the bottom of your shoe. There was no honor there. Men and women of an earlier age didn't trust politicians at all. Donald Trump speaks plain and he talks tough, something Obama simply cannot do. Chris Christie in New Jersey talks tough and speaks plain, something Obama doesn't do. They are looked upon as the future of this nation because they speak the truth. They tell Americans what we don't want to hear, the inconvenient truth. I want to thank you all for listening. I really do appreciate it. Hopefully you'll come back tomorrow for tomorrow's show. And have a wonderful night. Once again, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Have a great night. We'll talk again tomorrow. Try not to get